You are listening to the Experience Points podcast for the week of August 23rd, 2017. And this week, we're all just cogs in the bland, bland machine that is Max.
Welcome back, everybody. This is the Experience Points podcast. My name is Scott Juster.
And I'm George Alborn.
We are the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net. It is a serious but not humorless conversation about video games.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd say that we're pretty distinctive, right?
Oh, I think we are like colorful birds in the jungle, man. We are like, what are those, like birds of paradise?
Oh,
huge,
yeah.
Huge frills.
We're just, we do that as a... as a mating ritual. We
fan
out our feathers.
Yeah, the plumage that is this podcast.
This week we're talking about an article from Eurogamer by the writer is Christian Donlan, and he wrote an article. It's called Titanfall's Smartphone Game Offers a Possible Insight into Why the Series is Struggling. And he wrote about playing the mobile game based off of Titanfall.
Mm-hmm.
And his breakthrough was it helped him understand maybe why that game isn't as popular as some of the other shooters out there. And both of us, this article caught our eye, both because, one, we really haven't talked about mobile games for a long time, and we also
for
love
good
talking
reasons,
about but... Titanfall, because we love Titanfall.
Yes.
Especially yours truly. And it's an interesting combination that maybe shed some sad light onto the future of Titanfall and or possibly mobile games.
Yeah, definitely. It's bizarre because I remember when the first Titanfall came out, you and I gave it quite a bit of praise, I think, for the mm-hmm. most part. And we're kind of bummed that it didn't do well.
Yeah.
And we talked about how we were bummed for quite some time. And then Titanfall 2 came out and we were like, oh, we're so hyped. Like, oh, I hope this game is really good. Turns out it was even better than I expected. Like, the single player campaign was awesome. The multiplayer was really strong. I didn't end up sticking around to play it. Maybe for some of the reasons Chris has in his article. But I think it's safe to say that you and I are sort of defenders of this game just like he is, even if we don't play it on the rig and we don't see why it's not more well-received.
Yeah, I mean, I played upwards of 60 hours or more of Titanfall 1, just, mm-hmm. you know, straight multiplayer, and then Titanfall 2, it wasn't that I didn't want to play it, it was that, you know, things like Overwatch and a few other games came out around the same time that were just taking up the multiplayer slot, but, I mean, by all regards, it was a better game than the first game, and the first game was already like one of my favorite shooters.
Yeah.
I have not played this mobile game, although I'm highly tempted to download it just out of solidarity.
Don't do it, Scott.
I mean, the reason why I don't want to do it is that he specifically names Clash Royale.
Yeah, as the source of inspiration.
Yeah, and that game seems like a deep, deep, dark rabbit hole that I just don't want to go down.
Yeah, I just don't play board games. I don't play phone games anymore. I just play like board games on my phone or listen to podcasts.
Yeah, I to this day, the most played phone game I have continues to be Threes.
Nice. Yeah, that's a good one.
Actually, did you see the other day that someone beat Threes?
Yeah, what? Can you imagine? Like, it actually has an end, and there's like a celebration and stuff.
And the freaky thing was, I think it was like 3 years after the game had come out.
Yeah, that's so bizarre. Did they make it public that, like, hey, no one's beaten this shit yet?
I don't know. It was just such a weird thing. I didn't even know the game ended, let alone it had been 3 years and no one had gotten to the end.
Because there's no reason, right? Like, theoretically, you could play that game until the numbers get so high that you break some value and it just crashes.
Anyway, game of the year.
So let's talk a little bit about why Titanfall 2 allegedly isn't good and why that sort of comes from the mobile game, right?
Yeah, let's do it.
Because I think one of the things that you know, say what you will about mobile games, that Chris identifies as interesting from Clash Royale is the theme that's put around Clash Royale, right? It has a sort of fantasy, what he calls like a Smog's Lair thing. Like there's all these like little elements pulled from fantasy that resonate with him, right? And Clash Royale is like a bright game. You see commercials where there's like comedic knights with swords and shields and stuff. It has a sort of I don't want to say the word out loud. A sort of Shrek feel.
I don't know who you're insulting. I don't know which way that goes, but
I'm insulting Shrek whenever I have the chance to insult Shrek. I mean, that's not necessarily a bad thing. You know, there's a lot of kids that love Shrek, so presumably there are people who love Clash Royale. But the point being is, right, is that there is a sort of instantly recognizable, but also at the same time sort of fun and colorful tone to Clash Royale that Titanfall doesn't have. And I almost feel like it's a sort of, I think he's right, and I think that that is one of the reasons why maybe Titanfall 2 doesn't catch our eye in the way that something like Overwatch does, right?
Yeah.
Where there's all of these instantly recognizable characters, they're brightly colored. Like, look at Sombra, right? Like, you can identify and describe what she looks like in a handful of ways, as well as her behavior, you know? Could you say that of any of the Titans in multiplayer? Probably not, you know? I don't think you can do that. It's kind of unfortunate, though, because at the same time, Titanfall 2 released in a period where they're trying to compete with big games like Call of Duty and in that action shooter space. And I think that they're right in thinking that there's not a whole lot of room for those colorful games, you know? I'm not quite sure whether or not Titanfall 2 could have been successful had it gone, say, the... What's that 2K game that came out around Overwatch time?
Oh.
The MOBA?
Yes.
It's B, so it's the B?
I was thinking that it started with a P.
I mean, this is perfectly indicative, though, right, of like what I'm talking about here. This was this was basically like a sort of competed with Overwatch, right? It launched in that same window. We've talked about it on here before, for crying out loud, right?
Yeah.
That game was colorful. It was thematic and cool and pretty. It just wasn't a very good game.
Paragon.
No, that's another good one, though. Paragon is the one from Epic Games that is a MOBA.
Oh,
similar thing, though, right? Like, in fact, that maybe that's even an even better example, because Paragon doesn't have the... It's beautiful, it's gorgeous, it's wonderfully... It's beautifully rendered, but it doesn't have the instantly recognizable or fun and sort of joyful color palette that you might see in other MOBAs like League of Legends or Smite, right?
Right.
And again, I think that sort of brown aesthetic is something that is almost like a checkbox when you're trying to make a quote-unquote serious game, but at the same time, if it could be a hindrance as much as a helper in that sense, right? Like, okay, you've made the check mark, you've legitimized this game as like a serious try-hard game, but now how are you going to bring people in who to them that isn't good enough?
There's a you have to how are you going to get the person who already isn't looking for this game.
Right.
By the way, I did a quick bit of research here because it was going to drive me crazy if we didn't. And my query to find this game was 2K shooter around Overwatch.
Nice.
And it's not, I don't even know if this was a 2K thing, but the first one that popped up was Battleborn. You were right.
Battleborn. Yeah. 2K.
Yeah. Was it 2K?
Yeah.
Man, so weird. Why does my brain know the publisher but not the... Anyway, whatever. The point is, it's a great case in point. But yes, you're right. Why is it then that Call of Duty continues to be popular?
Man, I don't know. Here's the thing, right? Like, I think the way that I would think of it is sort of like... And here we go, because I love food analogies.
It's strap in.
It's like one of those shitty diners that has a sign on it that was like established in 1925, you know? Like there's a certain claim to we were first, right? And we've been around for so long that we have the sort of the usuals, you know? You have a group of people who yearly come back into this competitive environment. I'm out of the diner analogy, by the way, because that's not... Well, unless it's a competitive eating environment.
All those flapjacks.
Well, so they come back to this location every year. And because you know that that's where all of those people are going, the sort of community mobs all together, you know? And it's carrying with it that sort of instant brand recognition. This, you know, they're often calling back to older entries in the franchises as well, be it like the new Black Ops or even Modern Warfare, and talking about like new weapons or maps that have been redone that are fan favorites from older titles, you know?
Yeah.
So they're engaging in this like elongation of the fandom around Call of Duty, I think largely based off of the success going way back to like even pre-Modern Warfare time.
Yeah, know? That's a good point. And that's when it was a different thing.
Yeah, and if you're a new IP and you're trying to like enter that game, right? Like how do you compete? Like you can't do that same thing. You're not going to have a huge army of people that are just coming in day one that are ready and eager to play with each other on the latest entry in that franchise.
Mm-hmm. I guess it's also, I mean, it's essentially the Coca-Cola argument where, you know, everyone knows it. It's been around for 100 years. And also they just market the shit out of it. I mean, they still have those trailer releases during the NBA finals. And, you know, they forcibly put that in front of everybody.
Right.
In a way that, you know, something like Battleborn just doesn't get, you know, it doesn't forcibly get people's attention.
Yep, totally. I think what I find so bizarre about the Titanfall 2 case, though, is I can't really think of too many games that were so well received critically that didn't maintain their place in the conversation. And I don't know, maybe that's, maybe if I actually put in more thought, I could think of more. But even something like, I don't know, Dishonored 2, right, which I think generally fell out of the conversation, but was pretty well received, is still something that people are aware of or talking about when the, you know, new expansion comes out and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, it's a different type of game. It's not the type of the genre that Dishonored is a part of is a different, it's first person, obviously, but it's a different genre than something that goes up against Destiny or Overwatch or Call of Duty or even Gears of War or something to that extent.
Well, so like, sorry to interrupt real quick, but I'm looking at like Titanfall 2's Metacritic score right now, right? Is 89. That's crazy high.
Yeah.
That's better than Pyre. That's better than Hellblade right now. That's better than, you know, it's better than Nier Automata. It's better than a lot of games that are on people's list of the best games of this year. But did Titanfall 2 make, I mean, how many lists of the best games of 2016 did that make?
Just one, experiencepoints.net.
I mean, maybe it did. Maybe it did critically, right? But I don't know. Like, I think it's interesting that from the perspective of people who are playing it, like from that multiplayer perspective, right? Because that's really who are the people who are carrying forward the game, right? When we're talking about, oh, why is this not more, you know, more talked about or more played? That's really what we're sort of asking.
Yeah. I mean, I think in a way, you almost get the sense that the whole single player campaign was meant to address some of that perceived personality problem.
Oh, totally, yeah.
I mean, remember BT? BT was our homie.
BT, man. Yeah.
Our tossed Bondu, us across the map.
Our husbandu nominee. In
I know.
Our
he was in rare. He was in rarefied, breathing rarefied air there. I mean, he was with some. He was with some of the best, but
I mean, and not just that, right? Like, there was an element of like WWE wrestling personalities in the enemies, in the bosses in particular, right?
Yep.
Like, there was a weird like Russian bear guy who had the flamethrower stuff, and there was the like weird AI. I think it was like, was she the one inside of the like flying?
Oh, one, there was a, yeah, maybe? There was the flying guy. There was the AI one. Yeah, that's right.
But those personalities don't carry over into multiplayer, and I think that is actually a bigger, potentially a bigger issue, you know? Like, when you're playing Overwatch, you really bind yourself to some of those characters, you know, because their personality and the way that they interact with the world and their gameplay, right, all sort of resonates and works. And I'm not quite sure that ever really worked in Titanfall, where your Titan you get in battle comes down and then it just gets destroyed, and if it's me, in like 15 seconds, and then you're out of your Titan, and then you just go order another one, right? Like, it, the Titan in multiplayer is necessarily disposable, so it doesn't have the personality that can really drive you through that experience. And then the same is sort of true of the pilots, you know, like they're all running around with their like blue visors and stuff, but does it feel like they're really interesting? Do they feel stylish?
Yeah, I mean, and it's all the style is completely the style is completely contingent on how well you can maneuver, and if you have a cool bed of music underneath your YouTube video of you wall running and stuff.
Yeah,
there's no you're right. There's no thematic bolstering of how cool you look.
Totally.
I mean, it's the reason why people pick fucking Genji and Hanzo, because it makes them feel cooler.
Yeah, or Reaper, right? Or conversely, yeah. I mean, there's even the foil aspect of it, where you like talk shit about Reapers or Genjis, you know? Because they themselves bring up this like sort of culture and you know, they resonate with you even if you don't play them because of their cultural role within the community of players.
Yeah.
And I didn't play a ton of Titanfall 2 multiplayer, but I never really saw that come out, right? Mm. And I think to some extent, like, that's something that is basically creative design, right? Like, that's something that has to come out in the design of those robots.
Yeah. Speaking of, they tried to do that. Remember the there was big parts of the single player and also in the marketing of that game where Titans were wielding swords?
Yeah. Yeah,
they tried to turn it into like a samurai showdown type of thing.
I mean, let's talk about mechs for a second, okay?
Okay.
There are a lot of mech properties.
Yes.
Right? I vehemently love some of them and very much dislike a lot of others, right? Like, there is a wide range. And in my mind, the best mech fictions, right, are the ones that do have a lot of style, right? Mm. Like, I think Neon Genesis Evangelion is oozing with style. Like, that show is awesome, and those mechs are fucking rad, you know?
It's oozing with a lot of weird
fluids. Oh, yeah, there's a lot of, like, weird, yeah. I mean, Ava's units being, like, weird humanoids kind of helps things out as well, right? Whereas, I've never been a big fan of Gundam, right? Mm. That being said, there are hardcore Gundam fans, and I'm sure that they would argue that it does have a lot of style,
you know?
Or, like, I mean, we can even go to other video games, right? Like, do you remember Zone of the Enders?
Oh, yeah. I remember that. A fine Kojima production.
That game had a ton of style. Like, that music was awesome. The mechs were really cool. They moved in really cool and interesting ways. And I think that generally, like, that really worked, right? Whereas I don't think that the idea of, like, mech therefore cool works anymore. Like, you have to go the Pacific Rim style, where you've got these fucking badass, like, four-armed, colorful, you know, national driven like mechas that kick a whole lot of ass, and they do it in weird and crazy ways. And I think to some extent Titanfall 2 and Titanfall 1 as well just never really hit that.
I wonder if they tried to split the difference then, because the other extreme, you know, basically there's two poles. On one side there is the ninja mech, and on the other side there is the tank mech.
Yeah.
And the tank mech is, I think of Mech Warrior. Did you ever play Mech Warrior?
Yeah, a little bit.
I mean, I had Mech Warrior 2 on my parents' old computer, and there was a keyboard overlay that reminded you of what all of your cockpit controls were, because basically every key did something.
Yeah, that's crazy absurd. Yeah.
And then on the other side, like you were saying, there's, you know, stuff like Evangelion, where there's basically robot samurai flipping around in space.
Yeah.
And Titanfall 2 is a little bit in the middle, because there are robots with swords, definitely.
Yeah.
But there's also loadouts where you're basically hunkering down behind a shield, getting a Gatling gun, tactically using self-destruct to kind of suicide into an enemy stronghold. So they're trying to be somewhat mobile. They have the dash, but then they also have these weird lumbering, you know, particle cannon type weapons. It's trying to like cut it straight down the middle.
Yeah. You know, so a good example, right? So I just got back from Gen Con, which is, if you're listening and you don't know what Gen Con is, it's a huge board game convention in Indianapolis. It's like the biggest one in the world, I think outside of Germany. And while I was there, I played some Battletech. Are you familiar with Battletech at all?
I am. I've never played it, but from afar, I've always been a little scared of it.
Yes, as you should be. So Battletech is essentially a miniatures game, but it is like Mech Assault Extreme miniatures. Like, when you are in combat, you are tracking, like, which side of the mech are you receiving the fire from? Okay, where in your body did that particular missile hit?
Yeah.
How much damage did it do? Okay, you crit, so which function of that particular part of your body are you losing because of the explosive damage to that area, right? It's very minute. And I played it, and I'd never played Battletech before. And for the most part, the game that we were playing, and given we were probably playing with slightly simplified rules, was much easier to understand than I had expected. So, but that aside, one of the things that I thought was really cool and notable was that everyone that I was playing with, and they were all overwhelmingly like Battletech nerds, like people who had devoted many, many hours of their life doing stuff with Battletech. Two of them were artists for different companies making mech games. One of them was making a mech video game, right? And all of the figures that they had were weird or different in some way. Like one was this massive guy and had like an axe, and that axe actually worked and did a particular thing in the game, right? That none of the other mechs did. And other ones had arms that could rotate back, others could jump further, right? And all of them were meticulously painted and painted with bright, like vibrant colors and splashes and like zebra print. And some of them like looked weird, and some of them looked alien, and some of them looked very much robotic. And there were there already in what is, I would argue, probably the most extreme, nerdiest version of mech fandom, still had a lot of theme around it, right? Like, they still cared about that aspect of it. Because the way that they played, right, was the aesthetic needed to look cool, right? The mech needed to fit the aesthetic, and the actions and the gameplay needed to fit that aesthetic and that design as well. So everything had to work together, and theme and color and style was a part of that.
Yeah.
You know, even with something that is as rules-based as a miniatures board game, style was a very important factor. And I think if that's true in Battletech, that has to be true in basically any video gamer that's trying to sort of simulate something that I think on at first glance would be kind of used to be boring, or would be okay being boring, you know, in a way. But I don't know. It feels like there's a certain assumption that mechs should be a certain way, and I think based upon Battletech, at least, that's clearly not the case. Like, people will gladly consume your mech stuff, and if you've got enough style, then you really can stand out, but you've got to put in that effort.
I remember, I think MechWarrior was actually based on or an expansion of the Battletech universe.
Yeah.
I think MechWarrior was their, like, video game foray, if I'm recalling correctly. Well,
they did actually have pods at Gen Con that you could go into that were in a video game, and then you could watch the people playing who were in their pods.
Oh my
playing, God. I guess it was Battletech, but maybe it was just like Mech Assault or something.
Well, because, I mean, they brought back a modernized version, video game version of Battletech, but all those MechWarrior games had that sense of style where there were different clans, like, oh, this is the Ghost Bear clan, or these are the Dire Wolves, and they paint wolves on their mechs and all that shit. Like, even in the video game where, like you're saying, they're personalizing it in a way that is giving it character that isn't actually literally making an AI voice the mech. It's putting a more human spin on the mechs because they're war machines of a grander purpose.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think it would be interesting actually to see how the fandom around something like, let's say there's a Titanfall 3, right?
Mm.
Would we see a calculable, like a significant difference if people were free to like create clans and like wait, you know, like, so imagine Splatoon 2, right? You know, Splatoon 2 does their Splatfest where everybody sort of breaks off, right? What if the Titans were fighting like Ketchup versus Mayo, right? And you could paint you could paint your Titan to look like a giant like Heinz ketchup bottle or something. I mean, it sounds ludicrous, right? But like, could we imagine a world where players are given more free rein to choose and design and or make an aesthetic that is more cool or interesting or thematic if the studio can't necessarily put it together, right? At this point,
I remember
so
when
deep.
We were playing Titanfall 2, remember you could make your own, I forget what they called them, they were essentially clans, but remember we scrolled through and it was all Harambe memes?
Yeah, but the thing is, though, like, you can make your Harambe clan, but you can't plaster Harambe's face on your mech. Right. There's Fair. No like there's no like Godzilla skin where like your mech has fur and stuff and shoots like banana rockets. No, hold on a second real quick. Look, if there are banana rockets added to Titanfall 2, I am fucking back in a big
I'm in. Yeah, I mean, I think going back to going back to the article, even the things, the caches that you get instead of treasure boxes are, it's meant to feel grounded and meant to feel, space realistic, kind of like the set of the original Alien or something.
Yeah.
But it doesn't inspire that sort of fantastical devotion that people have. Mm-hmm. And it's a victim of its own focus on being gritty or being realistic.
Yeah. Do you think, so the article also mentions that it might be that there is a sort of malaise with that Call of Duty and that they are sort of victims of the splash. How accurate do you think that is?
I mean, I don't know. I feel like you and I were the sole voices of reason in the Call of Duty conversation last year.
Yeah.
Because that game was well received and both of us were kind of like, what the fuck is this? What is going on? And I don't know. As an outsider, I mean, my sense was that each Call of Duty game was struggling a little bit more than the last and they needed to do something drastic to regain some of the ground from Overwatch and other things.
Yep.
I mean, it probably doesn't help.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I think also this next year of whatever the shooters are this fall, a huge shadow has fallen over them and that shadow is PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds.
Yeah, I was thinking that earlier as well. Like, it is interesting, right? Because the Titanfall 2 single player was really well received, and I think quite a few people played it. I mean, it wasn't as big of a success in terms of sales as the first Titanfall, but, people liked that single player campaign. Mm. And I think the issue was that a lot of people weren't necessarily sticking around or coming back to Titanfall 2 for multiplayer. And you said that when Titanfall 2 was coming out, you were playing Overwatch and other stuff.
Yep.
It feels like that multiplayer environment has just gotten way more competitive over the past couple years in terms of really big heavy hitters that also, I should say, are relatively affordable and easy entry, you know?
Yep.
Like, and that goes for Overwatch as well. Like, not only is the game relatively high value for the amount of cost it takes to buy into it, like PUBG is $30, right? And you can get many, many hours out of PUBG. They also run on pretty low-end PCs. So I imagine that for quite a few people, like, that's a pretty big reason not to go and play those titles, you know? And Destiny 2 is coming out, and you've got, other competitive multiplayer games, Battlefronts. You know, Titanfall 2 has a lot of competition. I mean, maybe that's always been true, though.
I mean, to an extent, it's always been true, but the Battlegrounds shows an alternate model where this isn't your standard control point or capture the flag, and it also isn't your standard deathmatch. It's something that is pretty novel to the mainstream, and it shows that you can have a high-stakes, high-intensity, extremely fun multiplayer game that isn't just based off of, oh, look at those EXP bars go up every time I get a kill.
Yeah.
And I think it benefits from being way more nimble than the big studios can be. I guarantee you, if not this year, the year after that, there will be Battlegrounds clones in every single shooter.
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised.
No matter what, but they just can't. They just can't do it fast enough.
But what's crazy though is like Battlegrounds is not stylish. Like you drop out of it, like you do not. It's not like a fucking. You're not landing in like the Mushroom Kingdom. You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing especially aesthetically interesting about PUBG, other than the fact that it's sort of busted and not complete.
Yeah,
gives it a certain like lack of polished charm, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it probably goes back to that first thing you said about Call of Duty being the first.
Yeah.
It's kind of the first of these battlegrounds, of these battle royale style games that a lot of people are playing. And it will then be cemented in people's head as like, oh, this is the canonical one.
Yeah. I mean, there was H1Z1 mods and stuff, but yeah, I guess you're right.
I wonder how much style they'll ultimately put in there, because they're already rolling out cosmetics and loot boxes and keys. That's and, you know,
true. You can be a completely naked man with goggles trying to punch people to death. So in that sense, it does have a lot of style. So
it has as much style as you want to bring to it.
I mean, you can't be naked in Titanfall 2, so checkmate.
Checkmate, Titans.
If you were Respawn, how do you address something like this? Like, if you thought this was a legitimate thing and you are the creative director at Respawn, do you pivot? Do you take combat elsewhere? Like, what do you do?
I don't know. It's almost like Titanfall 2 was in many ways, it was the first game. I mean, mm-hmm. Titanfall 1 was an amazing mechanical game, but it was very much, it felt like a proof of concept from people that escaped Call of Duty and managed not to get sued into the ground. And they're like, okay, we're going to crank this out because we are really good game designers and we'll figure out the story later. And it almost feels like Titanfall 2 could have easily been called Titanfall 1.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
And so I don't necessarily think the ship has completely sailed, but I do think...
But they're swimming after it.
Yeah. I mean, it's going. Like, it's moving. But I think what they did with the main character and with BT was quite well written, all in all.
Yeah.
Compared to a lot of games that I've played. And if they're willing to follow that a little bit further, I mean, I remember those bosses way more than I remember whatever the fuck happened in the Call of Duty game last year.
I just, honestly, the thing I remember most from Call of Duty is dying over and over again in like one particular room.
Wasn't the Call of Duty one last year?
The fucking mech room.
It was the mech room, yeah, because there was a fucking... Fuck, it comes full circle. Wasn't that the one that Jon Snow was in, like piloting the mech or whatever?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, that's all I basically remember about that. Whereas I remember so many scenes with BT. I remember that when you get the smart pistol. I remember like getting thrown. I don't know. I just,
that's true.
It's there. It's just the momentum isn't there.
Yeah, definitely.
I still don't think I'm going to play this mobile game though. Mobile games,
well,
like I said,
Banana Rockets. Just saying, never cross it off your list.
If I can pay 99 cents for Banana Rockets in this game, then maybe they've just won me back.
I mean, so I'm joking about Banana Rockets, but you know, we were talking about GTA, what, like last week, right? And that's another game that I think in the beginning maybe didn't have all of that style, but now does because of how much content they've added, where they've wholly embraced the absurd. And when you're looking at something like PUBG, that is basically a mod of another game, that's like its own separate game mode. And already people are coming up with crazy ways to play PUBG, right? Like zombies, for example.
Yeah.
Maybe you do work on like weird mods and one-offs and like just fun little quirky bizarre things where you're okay at breaking the rules, even if temporarily.
Making a forge mode out of Titanfall where you can shoot other mechs out of mechs.
Or break the rules. Make it like maybe make a mech really fucking huge and have it be like some insane like co-op mission or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Kind of refusing to play by those rules and instead just going fully the opposite direction.
Yeah, maybe.
I hope so. I mean, it would be a shame if Titanfall 2 was the end because I really feel like it was largely the beginning and those games just feel amazing, even if they don't look it like it.
What they should do is just spin it off and do an entire game that's just that time travel mechanic.
Oh, yeah. BT jumping through time.
Yeah, that'd be sweet. Between time. Boom.
Boom.
BT between
BT time. Colon between time. Fuck. You can have that one for free, Respawn. experiencepoints@gmail.com is our email address.
And experiencepoints.net is our banana rocket machine gun factory. Come on down. Get your furry Titan outfit. We did a Titanfall 2 review if you didn't listen to it. Find it at experiencepoints.net. And that's where we'll be.
Thumbs way up on that one.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Until next time, everybody. Thank you for listening. We will talk to you next week.
Ciao.